Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Williams, five, Komet, touchdown Chicago.
Really good play design. Komet here. You watch the play action fake, settles the linebackers into the line of scrimmage, and you can't get any more open in the end zone than that. Komet's a red zone threat, and they have a great chemistry between Williams and Komet. Great design and great execution.
Cole Komet with his fourth reception of the season ends with a touchdown. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Taking your calls 312-644-6767. I want to talk about this Bears game and all of its glory. Bears defeat the Cowboys 31-14. A lot of people got involved in this one, including Cole Komet. Got himself a touchdown. Caleb Williams, four on the day. One to DJ Moore. One to Roma Dunze. One to Luther Burden. Then, of course, the one you just heard to Cole Komet. Makes you feel good about the offense and what you're seeing. I know it made me feel good, man. It's a lot of stuff that goes on throughout the season. And I try to tell you guys, as long as you can get, me personally, as long as I can get nine Bears victories throughout the season, that'll make me feel good. I just want nine happy Mondays. My wife today, when I was watching the game, we got three kids, got a brand new baby, so dealing with all of that. And I'm like, hey, Poppy needs to watch this game. And my wife's like, yeah, he actually needs to watch this, guys. He has to go to work today. So, like, my wife even was in on the whole thing. And then she would, like, look at the score and check in because she knows that I'm a nervous Nelly.
And you're so locked in.
I'm locked in, bro. And she knows that, like, the house is a good house, Grant, if the Bears are winning. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but she's looking at me and she's like, you look grumpy, but the Bears are winning. And they're like, because you just don't know when it's going to unfold and unravel in front of your eyes. And you're always waiting for it, but it never happened.
Yeah, as a Ravens fan, I know that all too well.
See? Look at that.
All those fourth quarter leads blown.
It's,
yep.
It's a tough one, man. But 312-644-6767. We're taking your phone calls. Of course, we got Grant Leader, our producer today. So when you call in, you'll be talking to him. And then he'll shoot you through right over here to me. But it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I'm hanging out till 5 o'clock. We got three more hours together. Then, of course, I'm going to hand you off, just like Caleb did to DeAndre Swift, to our guy, Dustin Rhodes, handling business at 5, leading you into Mully and Haw, who will have Olin Krutz and Brad Biggs at 7 and 9 on their show. Raheem Harris and Grody will have Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 1. And then Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner, Jason Leisure hanging out with the fellas at 3 and 4, respectively. Now, I mentioned a bunch of the guys today, and of course, three of them actually, Raheem Harris and Grody. This Thursday, you can hang out with them. You could join The Score and Budweiser from 2 to 6 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. That's where Raheem Harris, Mark Grody, will be broadcasting live at a special time, doing a switch up. Spiegel and Holmes are actually going to be broadcasting from 10 to 2 that day, live from Las Vegas. And then Raheem Harris and Grody are going to be live from 2 to 6 from Old Crow. And then when you're there, you can register to win special prizes from Budweiser. You can also say hello to the fellas and lady of the day, Layla Rahimi. Again, that's Thursday, 2 o'clock, Old Crow in Wrigleyville. It's all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 670 The Score, live and local, taking your phone calls and your thoughts about this Bears game. Bears win 31-14. You know, we haven't had too many happy Mondays over the last couple of seasons, and fortunately, you get to have one today, so I want to hear all about your thoughts. What'd you think about Caleb Williams' performance? What'd you think about the defense? Dennis Allen coming through. And where are the holes still on this Bears team? Even despite the victory, you can still spot those out. Where are those for you? Let's go out to the phone lines. Go to Ryan in Oak Forest. Ryan, what stood out to you the most today from this Bears victory?
Yeah, here we go. I'm a big fan of how the defensive staff, Dennis Allen, he knew the assignment when we had our best two corners and TJ inactive again. It was Tampa 2 pressed, yep. Because when you can't trust your corners, but you got some good safeties, you want those safeties to kind of do the dirty work up top, and it allowed guys like Stevenson to be aggressive in his spot, you know, to play his brand of football. We were also able to get home in the backfield. I mean, I forgot that was even a thing. I guess my concern is that we lived and died by the big plays, the chunk plays offensively. We couldn't really run a lick with our backs, and I just don't think that's very sustainable. I predict we have a winning season, but those divisional games, if we can win two, I'd be more than surprised.
Yeah, I would too. I think Dennis Allen did a great job. Obviously, he has his sights set on returning to the head coaching ranks in the NFL, and I think this is a great opportunity to do that, right? Where, as you mentioned, there are a couple guys that are missing and injured, but he don't care, right? It's like you're going up against Eberflus in his defense. It's a lot more to prove, right? Didn't you feel like there was a lot more on his plate today because he was going up against the former head coach?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like last week, the Lions had that whole "we don't need you" game.
Yes,
we don't want to have to end up saying, "Oh, we need you" to Eberflus. You know, we want to have our own "we don't need you" game, and if our offense was stagnant, we couldn't move the ball, then the narrative is just it's a complete disaster for the whole season.
Brian, let me ask you this: you know, because all week long we were talking on, you know, the Chicago lead on CHSN about, you know, who's the defender that they missed the most between Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, and then Grady Jarrett was on the injury report earlier in the week. And I threw out the name Andrew Billings. I said, this is a guy who was a key component, cogging up the middle for the Chicago Bears over the last couple of seasons. He went down, and when he went down, we noticed it on the defense. And then, you know, through two games, I had to check because he didn't record one tackle through two games. And I was like, is he playing? Is he a healthy guy? So he was playing. He didn't, in two games, he had less snaps than both Grady Jarrett and Jervon Dexter. But this is a guy who you expect more from. And then today he finally got his first tackle on the season. Don't you feel like the Bears miss him a little bit too?
Yeah, it's an odd spot. What I heard is that like he doesn't like fit this whole scheme thing.
Okay.
Dennis Allen, he likes those nose tackles to be a little bit
more athletic.
I don't really know how it works, but that's what I was hearing.
All right. And then what? So outside of that, though, obviously you're impressed with the way, you know, the defense worked out. What'd you think about Tyreek Stevenson stepping up today?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of gloom and doom before the game started. I'm like, oh, I just don't know if I can trust him after last week's game. I think we kind of caught a break with CeeDee Lamb, but, I mean, George Pickens is still a standout wide receiver who'll be a number one and then on a multitude of teams. But, yeah, I mean, that Andrew Billings thing, I mean, I think, you know, we can't put out three defensive tackles, but, I mean, great depth, one of these guys. Grady, we can't get Shamar on the field.
Tough. Shamar Turner not being out there hurts. Right. I mean, you want some of these guys to be able to contribute at a high level, especially early in the season, especially with a bunch of injuries. You know, imagine, you know, if we'd had an entirely healthy team, right? When you're thinking about this Bears squad, who's on the injury report, who's on the IR, you know, it's damning when you see it. But you love the fact that the guys were able to step up in this situation, right? Nashawn Wright, a lot of people were speaking highly about him during training camp, right? Jaquan Brisker, you know, was able to come through, almost had an interception today. You saw that on the tip pass from Tremaine Edmonds. Man, that could have been three for Tremaine Edmonds. Now that I think about it, he had that tip pass. You know what I'm talking about? Where I think Tyreek Stevenson was defending. Then the ball got George Pickens. The ball got bounced in the air. Tremaine Edmonds tipped it, and then Jaquan Brisker missed the interception. He was kind of upset about it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he can really pop off. I mean, remember, he is one of the fastest linebackers in the league, right up there with Roquan Smith. But you know, speed doesn't mean anything. But you know, when it gets put to use, you know, it kind of does cover the Band-Aid that is that Roquan loss.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see like a guy like Austin Booker too on this team, right? I mean, obviously he'll be on a little bit later, but you know, with the preseason that he had, it'd be interesting to see what he would have looked like in this defense, on this defense, you know, playing on the outside opposite Montez Sweat.
Yeah, I haven't really seen him a whole lot. It was the same thing last year where
he's hurt.
Promising moments in the preseason. Yeah,
he's hurt.
Yeah,
that's
why. Oh yeah, he is hurt.
Yeah,
I mean, both 2 years. It kind of got me mixed up because, you know, we thought it was going to be the next big thing in August of both of those years. So still holding out hope for that guy.
All right. Talk to me about, you know, next couple weeks for the Chicago Bears. Obviously, the Raiders, Bears fly out to Vegas next week, and then they get a bye week after that. How are you feeling right now about the Bears, you know, after a game like this?
Well, I mean, I think our big weakness is divisional games. Those games where you get a lot of cross tape and that, you know, they really know what time you wake up, what time you go to bed. But we play against those unfamiliar opponents, and we haven't played against the Cowboys in a long time. The Raiders, I don't even, like, I have no doubt that we got this one in the bag just because when we're unfamiliar to a team. No, it's a completely different staff, but it's kind of the same players. I guess just how just things are wired. I know Ryan Poles, he has less divisional game wins. I think he has about, two or three. So I'm not really sweating these interconference matchups.
Yeah, I was actually at Ryan. I was in Dallas when the Bears played the Cowboys the last time. It was Justin Fields had they were killing the Bears at the very beginning. And then Justin Fields had put up some good numbers at the tail end of that game. But that was a tough one. That was quite some time ago. But I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago. But, yeah, I mean, listen, they have an interesting schedule coming up, right? Because you face the Raiders next week, a team that just lost, as we mentioned, to the Washington Commanders. They go on a bye week, and then they're going up against the Commanders, right, where Jaden Daniels might not be there. Then they go up against the Saints. Lord knows it's a terrible team this year. And then they got the Ravens. Tough game. Tough matchup. Then they got Cincinnati, the Giants, the Vikings. I mean, there's some winnable games.
There are some winnable games there.
Like
there's some losable games, but there's some winnable
for
games.
For sure. That's the Bears. Every game is losable, right?
Yes.
But the fact that you're looking at some of the names and you're thinking to yourself, okay, if the Bears can keep trending in the right direction, right, playing football the right way, you know, having Ben Johnson, having them work, like it could look, Bears could be above 500 by November, which will be wild.
In all honesty, that Bengals game against the Vikings, like honestly, when you look at it on paper, you're like, okay, that could be a loss. You know, Burrow, T. Higgins, Chase, everybody in that backfield, Chase Brown as well, Noah Fant. And then it's like the Vikings just put 48 on them. That could be a win for the Bears now. Like, ties can change throughout the season.
Exactly. You know, you got to find the blueprint somewhere, and maybe the Vikings laid it out for you and what that game could potentially look like. But again, a few weeks away from that, but you're feeling good if you're the Chicago Bears because you like proof of concept. And that's exactly what you got today on that 31-14 win. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, live and local till 5 a.m. Going to hand you off to Dustin Rhodes for that pregame show. But in the meantime, we're taking your phone calls. Want to hear what you thought about this one. How are you feeling after the Bears' victory? Are you still a little timid, still a little reluctant to go ahead and crown these Bears a team that has turned the corner? Or are you just go ahead and drinking the Kool-Aid, feeling good in the present and taking the victory for what it is? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Laura out in Willowbrook. Laura, good to talk to you again. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, I love the show. Oh, my gosh. When the game, before the game started, I said, the key to this game is going to be how the defense holds up with our injuries. And, oh, my gosh, in the play, in my opinion, the play of the game, I don't remember who it was, but the guy was running with the ball. One of the Bears bumped in, ran into him, grabbed this ball out of his hands, and was like, okay, to me, that was the key right there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Bears started off, obviously, with a three and out. Punted up to Dallas Cowboys. Dallas were already in scoring position. I think they were in the goal zone right at the 24-yard line. And then Tyreek Stevenson, that's the name you're looking for, comes from behind Javonte Williams and just rips the ball out of his hands. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because that doesn't happen often where you just pull the ball out of a running back's hands. And then I felt like it did, Laura. It kind of changed the tide for the Chicago Bears. How did you think they did, you know, missing so many players, though, overall?
Well, honestly, I was at a sports bar watching, but I didn't see every single second. But I honestly had trouble finding something wrong.
Yeah.
Did I miss something? Because I won't say it was a perfect play game because then the other team would have had zero. But it, like, I couldn't find anything wrong, honestly.
No. And that's what Bears fans hope for. They want a perfect game, as we've been mentioning all night long. They want a perfect game where no points are scored. But what you might have missed was Tremaine Edmonds. He had two interceptions on the day. Were you able to catch that?
I did see one of them, yes.
Okay, yeah. Two interceptions, big ones. And, I mean, this is a guy, Tremaine Edmonds, that, you know, is one of the highest-paid linebackers in the league. Expectations are high for him. So it was cool to – you know, he ended up getting a game ball from Ben Johnson at the end, and it was cool to see, you know, him make an impact, you know, in the secondary like that.
Yes.
So how was the
Bears were exciting again?
How was the bar, Laura? To be honest with me, how was the bar? Was everybody kind of quiet, or were they excited and feeling good, or were there some Bear downers out there?
I was surprised. It was not crowded. It's like, okay, where is everybody?
That's funny because I'll tell you,
I don't know if everybody must have been watching at home. I don't know why.
No, this is what it was, Laura. And I was having this conversation with, I know I've been mentioning her a lot, but my wife, when you have a newborn, you don't hang out with people. You can't bring people to your house. It's me, my wife, and my two kids, even though my sister and my brother did stop by earlier today. But this is what I was trying to explain to them when it comes to that particular situation. It's that, this game today, it was like a game where the Bears, you watched it. You know when you're like, you like cartoons, you put your hand over your head because you don't want to look, but then you leave a little bit open so that you can kind of peek through.
Yeah, just a peek.
Just a peek ski. And that's exactly what this game was for the Bears. And then it started at 3:30 and you're like, damn, I'm going to watch this game because I'm a Bears fan, but I don't want to watch it because I don't want them to disappoint me the way that I know they will.
East Coast and Midwest 3:30 first kicks are just awful.
They're weird. They're just
so weird.
It's like, set me up. I understand game of the week, whatever. But as a Bears fan, you were anticipating a train wreck. And so to your point, Laura, which was where was everybody at? I think everybody was anticipating a loss. And everybody was thinking that it wasn't going to go well. And so I could see where you just didn't want to be at a bar, putting yourself in a predicament where, you know, you're going to have to watch a loss at that game. This is terrible. People were offering me tickets to the game yesterday. Hey, Gabe, you want to go ahead and cover the game, you know, live? And I'm like, no, I don't want to go to Soldier Field for this game in particular, where it could potentially be 40-10. You know, I don't want to go to that. That's not something that I want to do. So I watched it in the comfort of my own home so I can cry tears in my own house. But fortunately, to the delight of the 62,000 Bears fans that were in attendance today, they got to watch a Bears victory, and I'm very happy for them. I'm happy that they were able to see that because, again, especially at home, victories are few and far between for this Bears squad. But it was a good one. Bears take down the Dallas Cowboys 31-14. A sound performance by Caleb Williams and this Bears team. Caleb Williams, 4 touchdowns on the day. And, of course, if you didn't know, you're going to be able to get free hot dogs from the Wiener Circle, which, by the way, Grant did a great job today getting them on the phones. And if you didn't hear it, good.
Good. We'll just leave it at that.
If you didn't hear the Wiener Circle today on 670 Score, good. Just know that they remain true to who they were.
They will provide service for you. They'll provide their service for you.
They were up at 1 in the morning answering phone calls, and I'm glad that they were all game for being on
here. What's so weird, too, is that you look at them. Whenever I check something is open, I check the maps. Yeah. That's what I go to. Look up Walmart or Costco or something like that. See if they're open. You open it up, it says they're closed. Mm. But then as soon as I called them, they answered up within a couple of rings.
Gabe, I walked in there. I said, Grant said, this thing, my Google says it's open till 1. And I know they're open late. I was like, we're going to call them. I was like, we're just going to call them and get them on the air. And her vocabulary was amazing. I'll say that. I'll just leave it at that.
She had a palate, that's for sure.
That she did. It wasn't just for food, I'll say that. But yeah, if you didn't hear, free hot dogs, Tuesday. I guess I should have asked her how it worked. You know, she didn't have...
Maybe it's a buy one, get one free type deal.
No. You're getting free hot dogs. And I'm sure I've seen this maybe in Milwaukee before where they just have a bin full of hot dogs and somebody's there at the front and they're just passing them out.
Gotcha.
As they go. So, you know.
I know ballparks, they sell out the little ones, like the real skinny ones.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe it's that.
You might get some girthy ones. You never know. It depends on what your preference is.
Get some girthy glizzies.
If you love the glizzy, if you're a glizzy gobbler, then all of a sudden you can find yourself at the Wiener Circle. But it's going to be a good one. Listen, if whoever does, you know, morning radio, like that should be their bit. Like somebody should be down there, man on the street, send the producer out there, go do something. Cause I mean, it's going to be good. And then the Wiener Circle, I mean, oh my God, it's like perfect. We should pull up the clip of Caleb Williams talking about, you know, the glizzies at some point and seeing what's happening there. We got to play some Caleb Williams too. Matter of fact, let's pull some Caleb Williams up. We'll see. We'll get that up on the board. I want to hear from QB1 and what he had to say today following this victory. He had a lot of positivity on his plate, of course. You know, 4 touchdowns on the day. You got to be feeling good for yourself. So let's do it right now. Here's Caleb Williams following the Bears' 31-14 victory and what he had to say not only about this offense, but the Wieners from Wiener Circle.
How's it going, everybody? Awesome.
Last week about finding consistency, and you said it's something that you all have to do day in and day out.
Yep.
Having the week that you all had and now winning this game, what do you think was different and what worked?
Yeah, I think it starts with practice and how consistent we were in practice. The preparation, you know, when we're actually between the white lines and going out there and, you know, competing versus each other and, you know, having these tough practices. And, you know, it builds the confidence for us to be able to go out here and have a game like we had today. So, you know, the consistency and things like that, you know, that becomes a thing when you can, you know, you have a day like today and then you can come back and do it again and again and again. So it's something that we have to, you know, work on and keep striving for every day in practice. And obviously, you know, we get out here in the game.
On the flea flicker when you're waiting for the return pitch from DeAndre, what's going through your mind? It took a little bit longer to get back to that.
Yeah, something we practiced all week, and you know, we underthrew, either I underthrew Luther a couple times and either missed it, and then, you know, just building the belief and confidence with the guys and just communicating with them. And I told Luther, just, you know, you won't outrun me in the game, and, you know, just run. And, you know, they did a great job O-line. You know, that's a flea flicker is a really long play. And so for them to be able to hold up and be able to, you know, allow DeAndre to, you know, toss the ball back to me, it kind of did a free throw kind of floater kind of thing. And, you know, after that, just let it rip and let Luther go make a play.
How do you, when there's the delay of the ball coming out like that, coming back to you from DeAndre, how do you get it out so quickly and be somewhat accurate on it?
Yeah, I think it's, I guess, God-given ability, I guess, to be able to get it out that fast. I don't know. And then, you know, just the belief and confidence in Luther being down there. And, you know, in those moments, you're kind of taught to kind of peek at the defense before you get the ball. So I peeked at a few times while the ball was coming to me. And then, like I said, just throw it out there as far as I can and let Luther go make play.
What did you see when you peeked? How well did it work?
It worked pretty well. The guys did a great job, wide receivers-wise. They did a great job, you know, lawing the DBs and you know, safeties asleep. And then after that, it's head down, run, and then just look up.
And what was it like being a part of that 19-play drive?
That was probably my longest drive I've maybe had, maybe 20, maybe my longest, but it was tiring. I was hoping that he would call a pass play so we could try and go score and end the drive, but we end up running the ball well, getting that going, and then, you know, obviously being able to find a strike right there and score, so it was awesome.
On the touchdown, well, you see him slip right away, or what's your view there?
I ended up dropping – 5-step drop on that, and eyes was down the middle for a little bit, and then when I peeked over after my first couple steps, ended up seeing number 7 slipping, and then Rome threw his hand up, did a great job with that, and we were just on the same page, just giving him the ball and let him go score.
What's the feeling like for you personally, 4 touchdowns and leading a victory?
Yeah, it's great. I think it just builds confidence within the whole team. Being able to see offense, defense, offense, and being able to score how many points we scored, and then defense being able to get us how many turnovers they had, and then and that's such an explosive offense, as y'all know, and then also just being able to on special teams stop their guy number 9. He's one of the most explosive players in that position, and so I think on all 3 phases, I think it builds confidence for us, builds confidence for us as a team. And as an organization, to be able to go out here and win these games and feel confident about who we got on this field.
Caleb, you were so Saturday. That was the first time in your career.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All kudos to the big boys up front. They've been working their tail off. And I know we had 4 one of those other weeks last week, and the game got away from us, so you start having to throw the ball downfield and have to hold the ball a little bit longer than you want to, so being able to get the ball out fast, obviously, that plays a part for me, being able to get the ball out, tire the defense out, run the ball well, and then not be predictable in those situations, and then from there it's being able to just be able to go out there and execute the plays and deal.
So were you surprised at all, Caleb, that Ben decided to go for it on 4th down?
No. Nope.
And after, 2 weeks ago, you guys, the Vikings come back on you there. What did that drive do to kind of push down whatever sort of concerns may have stemmed from a couple weeks ago?
No concerns. That team that had that happen, or the team that, came back, against us. Great team and things like that, but this week there wasn't any concern. We got all the belief in the room, and in all of our rooms, and in this organization, and I think it's us being able to focus on us, and focus on what we needed to be able to do out there and execute plays. That's it. All good.
How did it feel to have the game that you did going directly against Matt Eberflus as the opposing defensive play caller?
Yeah, I don't think it really necessarily matters who, when you're able to have a game as effective as we were able to have on offense. It feels great, to be honest, whether it was Matt or it was any other defensive coordinator, Flo, or anybody else that we've played, or anybody else that we're going to play. When you're able to go out and score a bunch of points in offense, it's fun, obviously, because you put in so much hard work, and you want to be able to go out there and execute the plays that are called, and that's what happened today.
Dallas was driving when Tyreek Stevenson stripped that ball.
Yes.
What did that do? Did that energize you guys?
Yeah. I mean, beginning the game, obviously, we had a 3-and-out, you don't want those to start the game when you get the ball first. And, for Tyreek to be able to, make a play like that, energize the team in all 3 phases. And so us being able to get the ball back right there and kind of start the scoring for us and start the momentum for us was important, and happy for him to be able to have that moment and get us the ball back.
Are you guys seeing proof of concept, just with all the stuff, two minutes so heavy in training camp, you guys have been really good in an end-of-half situation, the long play drives, 12, 15 play drives that we saw in training camp, you would have a 19 play drive.
Yep.
Is that starting to see kind of why we practice those things and how good we can be at them in a game?
Yeah, I think we have so many guys that care. It's something that Coach Johnson and I talk about. It's we have so many guys that care about us as teammates, but also just us as winning. And so like you were just talking about, we always felt that our hard work, our preparation, you know, the long drive drill, the 2 minutes, the, you know, the moments, the 4 minute, you know, the situational third downs, all of those things that, you know, those are going to come. I know that we started off 0-2, but the belief was still there. The trust was still there that, you know, that I talked about. And so it's just us being able to go out there and do it and execute it. And that's always what it comes down to.
Caleb, stick with me on this one. Have you ever been to the Wiener Circle?
I have not, but I've heard about this, the four touchdown thing. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, congrats, everybody. You got free hot dogs.
Caleb, how big of a deal was it for you guys to give DJ a touchdown?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we wanted all of our guys to be able to get going and feel the juice, the energy, the momentum that, you know, that we want to have on offense. And so being able to get our guy DJ the ball and definitely score, I know that feels good for him and feels good for me. I was super excited for him, you know, gave him kind of a hug, like I was going to give him a nuggie. But, you know, it's super exciting to be able to, you know, spread the ball around. That's something I think I've prided myself on throughout my career, is being able to spread the ball around to my guys. And, you know, it's not necessarily my job to be able to get them the ball in the sense of like spreading around that much. Whoever's open, I got to deliver. But I think I've done a good job over my career being able to spread the ball around and, you know, kind of keep all my, you know, my wide receivers happy, because they do a good job out there blocking. And, you know, you only get, there's 70 plays, and, you know, those receivers may get 5, 6, you know, targets. And so being able to have those moments and being able to have those guys scoring and keep that momentum going with those guys and, you know, building the momentum and trust and all of those things. So it's important to be able to get all of our guys the ball, and, you know, happy for DJ.
What does it do for your offense to get Luther Burden going?
Yeah, as y'all know, as Luther has said, if you get the ball in his hands, it's a problem. So, you know, we always want to be able to get our guys the ball. And, you know, today, you know, I think Luther showed up, you know, big time for us. He's, you know, he's continuing to grow. We're excited for him and his growth. And I think being able to get him the ball builds a lot of confidence for him, a lot of trust between, you know, us and the coaches and, you know, myself as his QB. And we're going to keep growing, and he's going to be a big playmaker for us.
Caleb, did you see some of the things that specifically you've been working on with Ben mm-hmm. materialize on the field today in terms of footwork, using your eyes to manipulate the defense, and then no pre-snap penalties today, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, no pre-snap penalties today, which is what we've been preaching. You know, when we start having penalties and things like that, that's, you know, that's when we start having our drives that die and die fast. And so I think being able to understand that as a team and understand the focus that we need and all the hard work that we put in throughout the week, just to have those moments of a, you know, maybe a mental lapse of pre-snap penalties and things like that. You know, I think it's important for us to understand that and be able to understand that when we get going and we get that first down, that, you know, we're pretty tough to stop as an offense. And so understanding that, and, you know, we got to keep, like I said before, we got to keep being consistent with that and the pre-snap stuff. But, you know, all the stuff that's shown up with you know, all the hard work that we've been able to put in as an offense, and all the hard work that, you know, I've been, you know, putting in myself with, you know, the coaches, you know, after hours or, you know, whatever the case may be, it's nice to show up. And I think the guys are, you know, believing more within the coaches, believing more within themselves, and believing more within us. And I say that as the guys, but also me included.
Juwan said you guys had a players only meeting on Wednesday. What came out of that? What did you guys?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I think just being able to communicate with everybody and be on the same page and figure out how we want this to go. I've always said that the best teams are player led, and that's what we are. And we got like I said before, also during the summer, I believe that Ben has set the standard for us, and we have to execute this standard.
What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the trust and belief and the hard work and just all of it together. I've been able to have that moment for him and his family, the organization, this historic organization. It's just a a constant growth that mindset that we're on, but to be able to have this moment for him and us is really important, and like I said, it's important for us as a team organization to be able to keep building this momentum and have this growth that we want to go on in this run that we want to go on. Awesome. The Bears
did the bear claw. Caleb Williams right there post game following the Bears victory 31-14 over the Dallas Cowboys. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you live and local on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Of course, it's presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I want to take your phone calls, your thoughts on the press conference, thoughts about Caleb Williams. I love the fact that it doesn't matter. I could play you a press conference of Caleb Williams after a win or a loss, and it'll sound very similar, right? He's willing to break down tape. He's willing to talk about what's going on there. And I think ultimately, we get an opportunity to break it down as well. So let's take some phone calls on the other side again. 312-644-6767. When you're thinking about this Bears offense, is this what you were hoping for? With a Ben Johnson-led team. And then, of course, Caleb Williams, zero sacks on the day, offensive line doing their job, and the defense holding up their end of the bargain as well. But talk to me about them, the holes that are there. This team, I want to get all your thoughts. Of course, we are live and local until then. 312-644-6767. Your call's next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Under a minute to go. Milton back, zips around, and it's picked off. Kevin Byard's got it for the Bears, and that will officially seal the deal. A four-turnover day for the Bears defense today. And they have a lot to be happy about, but maybe out of all that, none to be happier about. Nothing more to be happier about than maybe the best early career game of Caleb Williams. This might be the best one he's put out there yet. 298 yards, four touchdowns, 68% completions, and a rating of 142. He was special today.
Yeah. It's great. Now it's... You build on it. As soon as the game's over, you get right back to work. You celebrate, you enjoy it, because when you start 0-2, it's a tough feeling for the fan base, for the players. Everyone feels the pressure.
So there you go, coaches meet. It's the Bears. They get the win today, 31-14.
That's right. Bears take down the Dallas Cowboys 31-14. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you live and local on 670 The Score all the way to 5 o'clock. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. That was Kevin Byer with the interception that sealed things there for the Bears. One of four turnovers, as the fellas just mentioned. Two of them come by way of Tremaine Edmonds' interception. Then, of course, Tyreek Stevenson in the first quarter. A pivotal moment where the Bears had gone three and out. Gave the ball up to Dallas Cowboys. They were driving down the field. Javonte Williams in the midst of a 22-yard scamper and found himself stealing the ball out of his hands. And that's how the Bears wound up with it there. And then it came back and scored a touchdown. Bears did a great one. But we get an opportunity to take some calls right now. Let's go out to the phone lines. Again, 312-644-6767. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. Let's go out to Scott in Kenosha. Scott, give me your recap of the game.
Hey, man, great show tonight.
Thank you, brother.
Nice to finally have what I felt was a get-right game, finally turning some things around, getting everybody involved, which was kind of nice, not to mention having a 19-play, almost 10-minute drive was really nice to see. And I think also, too, you know, I don't know about last week, kind of felt a little bit, I don't know if other Bears fans were thinking this as well, but it felt like Washington almost last year, where does this snowball, is this demoralizing? And it was nice to see, you know, Coach Johnson get everybody on board, ready to, you know, reload, and just really good all the way around. I think it was a game they needed badly.
I totally understand what you're saying there, but talk to me about specifically Caleb Williams. I need to know what you think about him.
Well, it was nice to see him spread around. He looked a little bit more comfortable in the pocket. I'm glad that they had him, you know, on some runs that looked nice. I mean, he was under pressure a few times and still, you know, stood tall, made some throws that he had to make. And, you know, like I said, it was just nice to see him making decisions back there and not looking so rattled. I thought the offensive line held up really well for him.
Yeah, zero sacks for the first time. I mean, felt good to see Caleb Williams get the ball out quickly, make his reads, make the right reads in certain situations and not put the ball in harm's way. And then you look at, you know, a team without the run game that you need, right? Obviously, it didn't perform to the level that we wanted it to, but they're still mm-hmm. able to come out in the second half, punt, get the ball out to, of course, and go on a 19-play, 76-yard. You heard Caleb talking about it before we went to break, a 10-minute drive. Like, what did you think when you saw the screen and they were talking about how it was, you know, 8 runs in a row, 9 runs in a row for the Chicago Bears?
I thought just keep racking it up. And yeah. I mean, you know, the numbers might not look great on paper, but I thought DeAndre still played well and got first downs when he had to. So I thought that was really nice to see as well. I think that'll keep going. I'd love to have a battering ram kind of running back to back him up as well. Kind of, you know, the Gibbs-Montgomery thing. But I still think, you know, he made plays when he needed to, and I think that's a good start. I'd love to see, you know, the tight ends. I know Loveland was out, but, you know, Komet and them getting a little bit more involved as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And Scott, it's interesting. When I saw the 19-play drive and they kept running the ball, and then I couldn't help but to think, and I wrote this down and put, like, bold letters and underlined it, and it was that, you know, Ben Johnson is arrogant, but arrogant in the good way, right? Like, you can be arrogant and people hate you, but then you could be like Tom Brady arrogant or Floyd Mayweather arrogant, where it's hard to hate you because you keep winning or doing things the right way. And I felt that way in the beginning of the game, the first play of the game, when Caleb Williams tried to force the ball to Colston Loveland. And I was like, is this Ben Johnson trying to shut everybody up? Like, look, I'm getting him the ball. And not only am I getting the ball, but it's going to be on the first play of the game. That's a level of arrogance that I'm talking about. And then to go on that 19-play drive and to say, yeah, people think our run game sucks. Well, take this drive. Take this drive and talk to me about it in the postgame. That's what it felt like to me.
It's nice to see, you know, it's nice to see some confidence. And, hey, if it's working, stop us. You know, if you don't want us to run 12 times in a row, stop the run. Prove that you can. And if you can't, then we're going to run it down your throat.
Of course. And I remember a game last year, or no, maybe it was 2 years ago, where it was Bill Belichick versus the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills obviously had the superior team with Josh Allen as the quarterback. But for whatever reason, in the snow-filled game, the Patriots kept running the ball because the Buffalo Bills couldn't stop them. And I thought to myself, yeah, if they can't stop you, you just keep doing it until that point. And that's exactly what you saw there. But you loved the fact that, you know, listen, you see Ben Johnson and his arrogance come out on fourth down situations, right? The Bears could have took the points, and you heard Tom Brady saying it during the broadcast. He said, I'm old school. I'd take the field goal right here on 4th-and-2 or 3 or whatever it was. But the end result, DJ Moore, the touchdown. But that's the kind of confidence Ben Johnson has. And I think it's a confidence that not only the Bears as an organization, but the fan base as well, that we've been lacking, Scott, where we ourselves don't even believe that the team is capable or can do it because what we've been subjected to over the years.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're thinking with, you know, 5 minutes left in the game, we're still thinking what can go wrong here, you know, and it's nice that I think that's infectious. I mean, I think, you know, arrogance and confidence kind of go hand in hand there a little bit, but I mean, arrogance and a Bears offense have never gone together. So, hey, if that's going to happen now, I'm all for it. Let's go.
Now, let's talk about a second, Scott. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, how the narrative changes for you personally about this Bears team. Obviously, after the first two games, you know, doom and gloom, you know, Bears terrible. A game like yesterday where, you know, obviously CeeDee Lamb gets injured. You know, they're losing one of their main weapons. Bears defense still comes through on a couple of trick plays. Like, where are your thoughts at? Where do you sit with this Bears team in the present?
Well, I think it's you got to keep it balanced because, I mean, you know, the first two games didn't look great. But, you know, like I said, I think it's a get-right game. I don't think we've solved every problem, but you're seeing improvement, and I think that's the biggest thing, is you're seeing incremental improvement. You're seeing Caleb Williams make that next step. I mean, I think he's already improved greatly this year over last year already. Just, like I said, decision-making, and I think we're seeing somewhat of a new team. I don't want to get, you know, out over my skis too far, but, you know, I think they're competitive, and that's, I think, what we all want to see.
Ultimately, man, thanks for the call, Scott. I appreciate it, and you know, I mentioned before that, you know, I'm very close with the Chicago Fire, the soccer team here in Chicago, and they themselves have a new coach as well. Greg Berhalter used to coach the U.S. men's national team. And he and I've interviewed him several times in several different arenas. And as mentioned, he coached the men's national team, right? But that he's also coaching the club team on the club level. And I asked him, what's the difference between the two? And he says, the national team is like a microwave. You get them in, you got to get them hot right from the beginning. He's like, but with a club team, or like the Bears for that matter, he's like, it's like boiling water, right? It's not going to be boiling from the very beginning. You want it to be boiling mid-season. And I think that's ultimately what you want from the Chicago Bears is, you know, a team that, you know, no one's saying the Bears are going to the Super Bowl or the Bears are a good team, but you want them to be decent. And you want them to be better than decent by the end of the season. And the hope is that, you know, you can take games like this, stack them together. And as we mentioned, the upcoming schedule seems favorable enough to where if you play football the right way, you can end up with some victories in this one. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. We already know who this is. This is the man himself, Marshall Harris. Of course, you can hear him here on 670 The Score, along with Layla Rahimi and Mark Grody. And now I get him at 2:47 in the morning. What's going on, Marshall?
Yo.
I thought I wasn't getting your phone call till 4 in the morning.
But look, I fell asleep early. I woke up. I was like, let me call my boy Gabe.
Good.
Because you know what? I fell asleep early. You know why I fell asleep early?
Because you were dreaming of Caleb Williams. That's why.
It was such a pleasant evening. It was just like, oh, let me just go to sleep. And then, you know, I got to get up and get my workout in and do my prep for my show and everything.
Marshall, I told everybody, I said, listen, you know, when the Bears lose, every line is lit up all night from midnight to 5 a.m. I said, the Bears win. Little Caleb Williams sheep are jumping over people's heads. They're just dreaming about the happiness that just happened right there. So go ahead. Tell me, because I know you're a Bear downer. I know you're a Bear downer. So tell me what you're going to say about this Bears game.
Listen, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about
today.
The progress is there. The progress. Oh, yeah, today. You're right. Later today. The progress is there. The progress is there. I wanted to check in with you and see how you're doing because, listen, we've talked about Caleb Williams ad nauseum since before he was drafted,
true,
right?
True.
And I was trying to talk you into him. Remember?
Me?
Like back before the draft. Do you feel like you now believe in Caleb Williams? Because I'm trying to tell you, I knew it was going to take time, but I was like, Ben Johnson is going, he is the guy to get the most out of Caleb Williams. If not Ben, then who? And now you see that type of performance with, you know, just coming up short of that 70% goal, right?
Yeah, we
but
talked about
four
that.
Four touchdowns, no turnovers. Gate.
No sacks?
Okay, say it with me. No sacks?
I mean, sacks. I mean, it's...
Did you foresee a game this season in which Caleb Williams would not be sacked?
I mean, I think the optimist in you would, right? Because you think better offensive line play, Ben Johnson's going to like instill in Caleb Williams, you got to get the check down, the easy yards that he's been saying. So you would have hoped for that, but I don't think I'd actually think it would happen, especially because of Caleb Williams and the kind of quarterback that he is. What was good to see, Marshall, was the command post huddle for me. When I looked at Caleb Williams at the line of scrimmage, how he was maneuvering guys into certain positions, it was as if, and what you always want from your quarterback, he was the master of the offense, and he was the conductor in those moments. And that's the part that felt the best about me, where I was like, this guy knows exactly what's about to happen. He knows where everybody should be. He has confidence in this play call, and he wants to execute it because he knows good things are going to come at the end of it.
Now, all that being said, Gabe, I do want to say this.
Oh, man.
The Cowboys absolutely stink.
I knew Marshall Harris was not going to let this just be. You're a Chicago Bear downer. That's what you are.
No. I'm pointing out all the good, but I have to be realistic in what we saw and who we saw it against. But here's what I like about it. You could take what you saw in this game, right? And you're like, all right, you did it at home. That's cool. can you do it on the road? In fact, we're not even going to make it a real road game. We're going to make it a quasi-road game.
Against the Raiders?
I believe there will be more Bears fans than Raiders fans in the building next week. I'm sorry, this week, I guess, since it's Monday, this week in Las Vegas. So now you get to see if they could take it on the road. And the most impressive part of this from a team standpoint to me was there were no pre-snap issues.
Yep.
They just went to the line and did what they're supposed to do. And you had a coach joking a couple of weeks ago about maybe we need to use that silent count at home. Well, you know what? They'll probably have to use the silent count this week in Las Vegas. Can they continue to progress as a team? That is the question. The Raiders are no world beaters. We've established that, right?
Yeah. They lost to a Marcus Mariota, or excuse me, a Jaden Daniels-less and an Austin Eckler-less Commanders team.
Yeah. So I think going into this week, you have to ask yourself some questions. What do you want the next step to look like for the Bears? Obviously, just win, baby, appropriate for this week.
Of course.
But at the same time, what do you want to see improve? And, you know, Dennis Allen did what he could do because he had a team that created four turnovers. That's the bottom line. They got outgained by the Cowboys. Cowboys led in time possession. But I want to see, can they continue to do and improve on defense? Because we know some of these guys ain't coming back.
Facts. Especially on this defensive side of the ball. And the difference, obviously, the Raiders, they do have the weapons, right? You see Geno Smith, he's a guy that can spread the ball around. I was pointing out earlier, Marshall, that the leading receiver for the Cowboys today after the CeeDee Lamb injury was Jake Ferguson with 14 targets, 13 catches for 82 yards. It's like, you know, they're going to feed the beast, but they had nobody to feed, right? If you're going to lock down George Pickens or have somebody over the top, it's like, and then obviously with the Raiders, it's going to be a different set of standards over there.
Yeah, because you know who their beast is, right? What position does he play?
Tight end.
Keep it coming with Brock Bowers. Let's see what's up. And Ashton Jeanty. Remember all the Bears fans who wanted Ashton Jeanty? He has been a mitigated disaster as a top 10 pick in Las Vegas. Make him look like a continued disaster this week. I'm as excited as I have been about the Bears all season. And I was pretty excited heading into game one because I thought they could make a first-year playing quarterback look like that. They obviously did not in the fourth quarter of that game with J.J. McCarthy. But, man, look, it's a good time. Today we're going to celebrate on Raheem Harris and Grody. And I hope you have had a celebratory night, even though I know the calls may be a little thinner when the Bears
are handling business. They're thin, but they're thick with you here, man. Marshall Harris from, of course, Raheem Harris and Grody hanging out with me here on 670 The Score, talking a little Bears victory. Bears take down the Dallas Cowboys 31-14. It could have been bad in the beginning, Marshall. The three and out happens. Dallas Cowboys marching down the field. Javonte Williams in the midst of a 22-yard run. And then, I mean, how incredible was that play by Tyrique Stevenson to rip the ball? I mean, it literally was unbelievable in the truest sense of the word when it happened. And you're looking, you're like, no way. He just took the ball out of his hand. And then the Bears go down and score a touchdown. It was like the most non-Bears thing to happened in that first quarter.
Yeah, and shout out to Tyrique Stevenson because he was my guy that I picked to make the Pro Bowl this year. I said he's going to have a huge comeback season.
Nice.
Did not look like that in the first two games of the season. And look, I know they were down CeeDee Lamb early in this game. Messed up my parlay, by the way. messed up my parlay. Because, you know, they'll void your parlay if somebody gets hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
This man had the nerve to come back on the field for one play in the second quarter and be like, I can't give it a go. But, no, seriously, the way that Tyrique Stevenson played this game is how the Bears are going to need him to play every game from here on out.
Of course, because we were talking about this earlier where he, you know, Tyrique Stevenson has the utmost confidence in his abilities. But that's when you think you're really good because you're guarding the number two wide receiver on the opposing team. And then when you're tasked with going up against Justin Jefferson, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, it looks a little different, you know, when you're the man guarding the man. And I think that he just had to look himself in the mirror. And we all, I mean, I, like you, think Tyrique Stevenson is a good cornerback. I just think he has, you know, certain mental lapses, you know, throughout the games. But I think it was even more of an awakening for him and a reality check for him to be like, I need to hunker down. And I think he did that today. I think he played well, you know, was on top of the ball, didn't get beat a ton. But again, he didn't have to face CeeDee Lamb for that whole game.
The beautiful part about this is we know that the Bears went extra hard at practice. And I think having it pay off immediately with a win over the Cowboys and having that effort be there with the four turnovers, Tremaine Edmonds getting the two interceptions. I think that speaks volumes to what this week should look like heading into this Raiders game. They can build on that too and be like, all right, we put in that hard work, that physical work at practice. Let's do it again this week. I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited to see what if this Bears team can be 2-2 heading into the bye week.
I cannot believe this is Marshall Harris speaking so I don't even know how to describe
it. Listen, I've been the one that said the whole time, I was like, I believe in Ben Johnson. At the beginning of the season, no one on my show, not the producers, not the co-hosts, no one agreed with me on this statement. I said, I have much more confidence in the Bears offense to get it together under Ben Johnson than I do in the Bears defense.
Fair.
Because I don't believe in their pass rush. I don't believe in their pass rush.
All right, let me ask you this.
I don't believe in their pass rush.
Is it how likely is it that the next time the Bears lose a game will be a month from now when they face the Baltimore Ravens? Well, how likely is that? You got the Raiders, the Commanders, and the Saints are your next three games.
I think it depends on if Jaden Daniels is healthy for that game against Commanders. But I like the possibility, especially since Joe Burrow went down now. The schedule doesn't look as crazy as it looked at the beginning of the season.
It's always funny when that happens, right? Oh, the Bears got the hardest strength of schedule. Then people get hurt. And a lot of these games start to look winnable, like the Bengals and the Giants. But you got to go out and play them. But there's momentum that is certainly there to be had for this Bears team. And I think they created it yesterday after the victory against the Dallas Cowboys. All right, Marshall, of course, we are in the midst of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And that includes some awesome guests throughout the day and on your show. So let the people know who's going to be hanging out with you and what time.
Oh, man, I don't know who's on our show.
Oh, my God. Anthony Herron. Anthony Herron at 11.
I know we got Anthony
and
Herron.
And Dan Weider at 1.
We got Dan Weider at 1. You know what? I got a special guest for you. How about this? We have someone coming on from Wiener Circle to talk about those free hot dogs.
Oh, look at that. Tuesday. Look at that.
I know that's at 11:45. It's 2 in the morning, Gabe. Why do you want me to know every single detail about my show?
Because you're Marshall Harris, man. You're so buttoned up. I know that's what it is, man.
I'll know in 2 hours after I get this workout in.
Well,
I'll know in 2 hours.
I appreciate you taking some time to call us up here and lending your voice to the show. And if, 5 o'clock rolls around and things are light, or 4 o'clock, call me up again. Feel free. Feel free to join me in the 4 o'clock hour. All right, Marshall, get your workout in, man. I'll talk to you, brother. Love you, man. Marshall Harris, of course, of Raheemy Harris and Grody right here on 670 The Score. As just mentioned, two great guests that they're going to have today, Anthony Herron and Dan Reederer at 1 o'clock. So make sure you guys are lined up for that. But I'm going to take you all the way to 5 o'clock. Couple more hours on the way. Of course, we got you taken care of. I'll be handing you off to Dustin Rhodes, the legend himself, handling business at 5 o'clock, and then he got you right into Mully and Hall. But on the other side, what did Ben Johnson have to say about this Bears victory? We'll get a chance to listen to him, but I want to hear your thoughts. Bears win 31-14. How you feeling about the squad? Anything change? Where are the holes still on this team? I want to talk to you. Again, 312-644-6767. Your phone calls on the other side, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.